Hey, I'm Chad.
And this is Eric.
And together we are
Jumpman!
That's right, like yes. Battle Cats Red Rocket. We're here.
I'm gonna mess you up.
Prepare your anus for a pounding.
Drop some nerd nuggets on your face. Yes. Chad, I'm so happy. This is the greatest moment of my life.
Oh, wow. Well, right now, huh?
It's the greatest moment. I mean, I've done a lot of good things in my life, but the world is about to change, and it's going to be an awesome change.
All right. What have you done?
No, it's not what I'm done. It's not what I've done. It's what's going to happen. Now, I've told you in the past, of course, I'm ready for the zombie apocalypse. You know, like, I'm ready for a post-apocalyptic world. Like, I'm ready to ride on a horse with a shotgun and just dish out justice and live off the land when the world is destroyed and the zombies take over. But guess what? The zombies are not taking over.
Why is that?
Because, honest to God, there's a runaway asteroid that's coming for us, dude.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Wait, is it coming next year?
No, it's coming Tuesday.
Oh, shit! Oh, the Mayans were off by a couple months.
Check this out, though, right? Okay. Now, it's the size of an aircraft carrier.
Okay.
Scientists say it's not going to hit the Earth, but it's going to pass between the Earth and the Moon, which is the first time since 1976 that something has done that.
Wow, that's crazy.
Something that size. But check this out. Now, everyone at home listening to this, you may be thinking, well, then the world's not going to end because it's going to pass between the Earth and the Moon. It's not going to hit the Earth. Well, you are wrong, my friends. If anyone here has watched Thunder the Barbarian, 1980s classic cartoon, I'm going to read the intro from Thunder the Barbarian, 1980s cartoon.
Uh-oh.
In the year 1994, a runaway comet hurls between Earth and the Moon. The Moon is destroyed and the Earth loses its ozone layer, causing the entire planet to be laid waste.
Ah! Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
The Earth becomes a world of savagery, super science, and sorcery, inhabited by evildoers, scavengers, and magicians. Boom, baby! It's just like Thunder of the Barbarian predicted 30 years ago.
Wow, Jack Kirby was right.
On Tuesday, this is going to pass between the Earth and the Moon. It's going to Now, I've seen the cartoon religiously. The Moon is going to crack in half, exactly. Uh-huh. And then the Earth is going to be all fucked up, like volcanoes, earthquakes, tidal waves. Everything's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be like sorcerers, and there's going to be like evil monster frog people and stuff. And then all you got to do is find yourself a lightsaber, because like Thunder of the Barbarian's got like this light sword. All you do is find that and find like a Wookiee sidekick and like a hot sorcerer babe, and you can rule the world.
Wow, Eric, I will be your overly hairy Wookiee sidekick.
Yes, now we just need a hot sorcery babe. So any babes out there that know sorcery, we're taking auditions for 2 days.
And Eric, I've played Shadowrun enough times to know that. Like, if you want a fucking arm cannon, you play the troll character. In the apocalypse, you want to play the big character who doesn't give a shit about hacking but has a fucking hand cannon.
This is great, dude. All I need to do is wear a loincloth and an animal fur vest. Mm-hmm. That's it. And maybe some gold wristbands. And then I just got to find a sword. And I'm going to be ready on Tuesday.
I think you need to take the next 2 days to go beat up some nerds, like some actual nerds. That have access to like lasers and force them to forge you a laser sword.
Yeah,
and tell them it's for the good of the people.
And if you don't believe this is happening, go look it up on Yahoo. It's science. And if you don't believe me, but you're getting this on Tuesday on our Facebook page, just look up in the sky, dweebs.
Wow.
Boom! This is so I'm ready, man. I'm ready for post-apocalyptic world. Okay, I'm ready to stop going into work every day. I'm just gonna find my sword and I'm gonna just start slicing through frog mutants and evil sorcerers, baby.
You know, this is gonna make a lot of people that don't trust the government happy, because there's already this like movement of crazy people that are like, you know, the government's too big. I'm only going to trade in gold. Yes. Gold and silver coins now on. Yes. This is like perfect for those guys.
I'm all ready, man. I'm just going to... Just all I got to say is follow me to victory, okay? I'm down in Virginia. You may want... Virginia will be a safe zone because I will cut a bloody path through all resistance. Wow. So just start commuting to Virginia. And if I judge you worthy enough to be a part of my entourage, you can join me. Now, keep in mind the fact is we already know where the biggest path of evil resistance is going to form.
Oh, where's that? According to Thundar.
No. I'm telling you right now, according to life, if you think I'm gonna like rise up and represent the side of good, evil is gonna rise up at the bottom of Texas where Steven Seagal is, man.
Oh no.
Steven Seagal is gonna be like, wait a minute. The government's destroyed, so there's no more rule against sex slaves? Ah! Steven Seagal is gonna literally turn into Jabba the Hutt.
Oh no.
And so eventually, you know, it's going to be like The Stand, like good versus evil. I'm going to have to go down and fight Steven Seagal, even though, like, I look up to him. But
wow, wait, so it'll be Steven Seagal as Jabba the Hutt and Nick Cage as Salacious Crumb, his little buddy.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
The bees!
I'm telling you, it's like, you know, I hope that everyone listens to this podcast on Monday on RetroWare TV or Tuesday on our Facebook page, JumpmanPodcast.com, because by Wednesday there may be no internet.
Oh my God! Well, yeah. All right. So, on a side note, the internet was invented by DARPA way back in the '60s as a way to communicate in a post-apocalyptic world. As we all know today, that's not going to happen. If somebody drops a nuke, it's over for the internet. All you have to do is silence the backbone, and it's done. But Eric, I wanted to comment on the startling revelation. This is just crazy, man.
I mean, you would have thought I would have found this out earlier than Friday.
Well, it's like you know, like no major news media outlet is going to give a crap about this. We're all like too concerned about like, oh my God, who said this and what politician said that and all this meaningless bullshit that's just plagued. You know, misinformation is such a scourge and a modern disease on our world.
Dude, you don't understand the conspiracy, okay?
Oh, what is it?
No, everyone knew that this was going to happen. You know, really? Like the world leaders, politicians and stuff, they knew, but they don't want us people, you know, the general population to know. Yeah, they don't want us to know, okay? Because they knew that we were going to like panic and start, you know, like rioting and looting and stuff. So like, all right. Well, we technically have to put this in the media, but we got to bury it down low. So what can we do to make sure people are distracted? All right, call up Kim Kardashian. Tell her to get divorced. Tell Kim Kardashian to get divorced. And if she does, everyone's just going to be so focused on that bullshit that they're not even going to notice the world's about to end. I'm telling you, Kim Kardashian is in on this.
Wow.
Well, she was going to get divorced anyways, but...
No, that's true. Well, you know, all the world needs is a gigantic pair of breasts. For distraction. I mean, that's all you really need.
I'm telling you, if the president is on vacation this week, Camp David or whatever, no. He's in a bunker somewhere, dude.
Yeah, he's in the Ark in the Antarctic or something.
They've already done a lottery, and they've picked, like, the world's best scientists and doctors and carnies.
And supermodels.
And strippers.
That's right.
And they are already underneath the, you know, 100 yards underneath the, no, more maybe like a mile under the Earth's crust. And they're just waiting it out, dude. And they've got all their, like, DVDs, like every season of 24 and stuff, and they're just like boxes of Twinkies, and they're just waiting it out. But what they don't understand is I'm gonna fucking triumph up here.
Oh yeah, you get a Thundar to victory.
I would almost call myself like the new overlord, except that's already taken. In fact, since the internet's gonna die in a couple days, you might as well, you know, go to different places that you've been meaning to go to, like overlordnetwork.com.
Boom. Oh wow. Seamless transition into our ad.
Let me tell you, Overlord Network, if you've not been there yet, you're definitely going to want to check this out, especially before, like I said, all the world goes to shit. I mean, I was just on there today watching, they got like cartoons and reviews and blogs and podcasts, and I was watching.
All right. So we told the internet we would do an ad for anybody that gave us money. So here it is. Check out the Overlord Network. It's overlordnetwork.com. It is, and I quote, an online community where you can find reviews, flash cartoons, videos, and blogs that are all posted by the users. Any user can post such content, and this is where the ad gets weird. Come aboard and join us as we plot to take over the interwebs from your friend Shadow Dancer 21 Bravo.
And I'm glad they contacted us because, you know, I hadn't heard of the place and I went to it and boom, instantly enjoyed it. Like, I liked the cartoons, like Plasma Bot cartoon, and they had a cartoon making fun of Twilight, which, I mean, duh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, our fans that listen to us can go there and they can be users too. You know, you can submit like a game review and stuff. So fucking do it.
Yeah. What I loved about this website, Overlord Network, is it so reminded me of college. So reminded me of, you know, you get like, all your talented friends together and you're like, yeah, we're gonna fucking do this, and you know, you create a website and it seems like You know, it really feels like someone's awesome college dream, this website.
They did it. They made it happen. Good for you guys. Good for you, overlords. Fuck yeah.
All right, let's get back to the apocalypse.
Well, yeah, you know, but it just makes you think, you know, you've only got, you've got like 48 hours here. Well, actually, I don't know at what point on Tuesday it's going to happen. It might happen at like 11:30 at night. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully, so I can watch Tosh.0 on TV one last time. But, it's time to, like, to fess up, you know? What are some of your life's regrets? What are some things that you wanted to do but just didn't have a chance to, you know?
I regret nothing. I lived just like that stupid country song. I lived every day like I was dying.
I have a confession to make.
You have a confession to make?
I do. I just want to clear my conscience.
Well, you already killed my fucking guinea pig back when I was six, so fuck you.
That's true.
In fact, I regret not stopping you.
I killed it dead. remember that old cartoon Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, the little chipmunks, the Disney guys?
Yeah, with the hot mouse sidekick.
Well, they came out with a Nintendo game back in the day, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, the Nintendo game. And
it's actually really good.
Oh, fuck, then. I don't even have to admit that I thought it was good.
Woo! No way, man.
Chad took the heat off me. I was going to admit, I watched my best friend play an entire game for like 3 hours. We ordered pizza, and I watched him beat Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers Nintendo game. And that was like my deep, dark secret. But
deep, dark secret? Hell no, man. But, man, you know, places like MAGFest are full of fucking nerds that would warmly accept you into their brotherhood. Because I think at every MAGFest since, man... They started doing speedruns at MAGFest every year, and that's been one of the speedruns. You know, it's one of the better Nintendo games based off of a license. You know, that and DuckTales, which we all knew was kick-ass.
I'm telling you, man. That I'd hidden that deep down for shame for decades, but I guess I don't have to.
No, dude. All right, dude. It was made. I'm pretty sure it was made by Capcom. I mean, that says it right there.
Yeah, but it wasn't called Chip and Dale's Street Fighters. Or Rescue Rangers.
No, that's true, but it was like any kind of licensed property back in the 80s. There was so much... what do I want to say? Like it was not like the cartoon. I mean, they kind of took the characters from the cartoon and kind of slapped it into whatever kind of engine they wanted. But it's just like the DuckTales Nintendo game where Scrooge McDuck goes and fucks shit up and beats the hell out of things with his cane, yeah. and steals ancient ethnic treasures and is a rich bastard.
Those are the best treasures to steal.
I know. I mean, he's in like diamond mines of Africa. He's in like, I think, like an Inca temple. He goes to the moon. He steals all kinds of shit. And in the end, he's just like sitting on his giant pile of like collected stolen treasures, like Indiana Jones. Like, I'm a pimp.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, knowing that the world was going to end, I already went out and took care of, you know, I always scratched something off of my bucket list.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
I immediately went out and rented Fast and Furious 5.
Oh,
yeah, starring The Rock. I mean, like, seriously, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, like, his tagline on his website should be, everything's better with The Rock.
That's true.
Because Fast and Furious, you know, first movie was good, second sucked, third sucked, fourth was okay. You know, you just watch them, you just kind of laugh at them, they're not that good. Then Fast and Furious 5 came and they added The fucking Rock.
Yeah.
Boom! Instant credibility, great fight scene, The Rock is a badass. You know,
that's awesome.
Like, the scenes that don't have The Rock in it, they're not that great. But still, The Rock is instantly better. And, of course, The Rock is going to be in G.I. Joe, the sequel, G.I. Joe 2, coming to movie theaters next summer.
Well,
because
G.I.
Joe was like, fuck, how can we make G.I. Joe 2 better? Duh, add The Rock. So,
they're like, subtract accelerator suits, add The Rock.
Yes. So, I went and saw Fast and Furious 5. I rented it for $1. And I was like, phew, thank God I saw that before the asteroid comes.
So, what did The Rock, what role did The Rock play? Did he fight Vin Diesel?
Yes, he did fight Vin Diesel.
All right.
And it was awesome because, see, like, all the Fast and Furious guys, like, they're on the FBI's most wanted list because the FBI's like, we got to get these guys to stop making these fucking terrible movies. And they're like, all right, we got to sick the biggest, baddest dude against these guys. The guy in the government that always gets his man, The Rock. So The Rock is like, yeah, I'm here to make you forget about all those kid movies I did, like The Tooth Fairy.
That's awesome. Well, dude, hey, can I tell you a little bit of a theory of mine?
Yes.
The Rock is like the new Elvis. Elvis, you know, he had like, humble upbringings. You know, he got into the music industry, blew up, and then he translated very smoothly into acting, into movies, and then he went back to music. And it's the same shit with The Rock. The Rock, humble upbringings, you know, third generation wrestler, but came up and kicked ass in the wrestling industry and everybody loved him. And then he went into movies and everybody loved him even more. And he can go back to wrestling anytime he pleases.
Yo, for the record, I'm going to kill your current guinea pig if it doesn't stop making noises in the background.
What? It's thirsty.
I'm going to fucking reach through there and break its neck.
What?
Yeah, and it stopped. That's right, guinea pig. Here. I have magical powers. I'll reach through the phone lines.
Here, I
kill
need
you.
I need something to throw. Oh, wait, no, it stopped. There you go.
It got scared. It heard me. That's right, guinea pig. That's right.
All right, so what else you got before Tuesday?
Well, I do have a regret because I found out some great video game news, and I'm not going to get to experience it.
Better than the Mass Effect 3 demo leaking on Xbox Live?
Well, I was going to say yes, but I don't know. Maybe that does sound kind of cool. I was going to say the fact that the new Soul Calibur game is going to have Ezio in it.
Yeah, that is pretty fucking cool.
Ezio from all those awesome Assassin games.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. At least, I will say, at least, a character from a game that I have played is going to guest star. When they announced Kratos in Soul Calibur, I was like, I don't really care, Kratos. Whatever.
Well, let's face it, Assassin's Creed is a great video game series, and Ezio is so much fun. He's got so many awesome badass moves, mm-hmm. and now that he's going to be in Soul Calibur, I was like, shit, man, that sounds pretty awesome, but guess we're not going to be able to play it. So, you know.
Yeah, too bad. You know, the thing that I was kind of surprised about was, you know, Assassin's Creed came out, you know, you had, what's his name, Altair? You played the first one? Probably not.
No, skip the first one.
Yeah, me too. So, you know, they had one character, and then you get to the second game, and you're like, all right, new character. And I was expecting after the second game, okay, third character. But instead of doing that, oh my god, they've just milked that character, milked their success of Assassin's Creed 2 into, like, another two games. I was expecting Assassin's Creed 3, okay, new character, different time era. You know, I was like, okay, you talked about all these other assassins from, like, all these periods of history. All right, give me one from like Egypt or you know, like give me the first assassin or give me the most recent assassin or just have it all be set in the modern age. But no, it's still Ezio.
Sorry, you gotta stick with the hot hand.
I guess so. But you know, if it's anything like Halo, you know there'll be Assassin's Creed 4. Well, technically Assassin's Creed 3 is Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah, and they'll do like an Assassin's Creed prequel. They'll be like Assassin's Creed Caveman Days.
That's right.
Assassin's Creed Ugh.
I want to see that. Yeah.
Ugh. The Stegosauruses are blocking the watering hole. The tribe cannot drink water. Ugh, go assassin Stegosaurus. Bashy, bashy.
That's right. And they're like, Ugh cleverly hid cave. What? He cleverly hid. Skull Smasher up his ass.
Yes. So, I guess another regret is the fact that I'm never going to be able to see the next Riddick movie.
Oh, no. When's it come
also
out?
Also starring Vin Diesel. Next year, I believe. Yeah. They're still casting for it right now. But check this out. I mean, do you want the title first or do you want the paragraph that sums it up? Because we talked about this like 20 episodes ago.
I mean, I'll tell you either way, I don't give a crap.
We talked about how he's going to be fighting three-legged bisons called Trizons.
Trizons! And actually, it's been so long since we talked about Trizons, I want to see a Trizon.
And I think he's fighting mud demons, too, or something.
Yeah, good old mud demons.
So, anyways, the new Chronicles of Riddick movie, the third in this unplanned trilogy, is called The Chronicles of Riddick, Dead Man Stalking.
Oh, God.
Yes, yes. Man. That is an awesome, clever title. Dead Man Stalking.
This is the stupidest title ever.
Of course it is, but it makes me want to see it more.
I mean, Assault on Dark Athena was kind of a stretch, but this is like the cheesiest marketing title of all time.
Oh, it's so terrible, but it's funny because it's like when you come out with that shitty of a title, it almost makes you be like, oh my God, that's going to be such crap. I don't want to go see it, but instead it makes me want to see it more. I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome crap.
That's true. That's true. It does sound so bad. It's good. I mean, all they have to do in the trailer is just have like Vin Diesel like in a cave or behind some coverage, you know, with some people, and there's some rumbling, right? There's some rumbling, and rocks are falling over, and somebody next to Vin Diesel's like, "Oh shit, what's that?" And Vin Diesel puts on his shades and says, "Trizins." Yeah. And the camera flies up, and we see these three-legged bison things going, charging at him.
Now, will it have two legs in front and one leg in the back, or will it have one leg in the front and two legs in the back?
I think this whole tricycle buffalo thing is stupid. I mean, they should just have three horns. Like, Darth Maul, like, when Darth Maul comes back in a wheelchair, he should have, like, three blades coming off of his lightsaber device.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and that was the big stupid rumor when episode 2 came out. They're like, dude, this is gonna be a three-blade-wielding lightsaber.
Oh, my God.
If only there was a three-bladed lightsaber to save us from that awful movie.
One coming out of his butt.
Yeah, you never expect that. Actually, you know, there was a movie called The Machine Girl. You ever hear of it?
Yes, yeah, I saw the preview for it.
Yeah.
Bloody.
Yeah, it was so low budget, actually. The trailer doesn't let you on to how low budget it is. But there was a sequel to The Machine Girl, even low budgetier.
Yes.
But the whole thing was that this new Machine Girl doesn't lose her arm. She can still wield the machine gun, and she's like this schoolgirl, even younger. But she also has a machine gun that comes out of her butt.
Oh jeez!
with like a whoop, kind of like a sound effect, like yeah.
I have a machine gun comes out of my butt like after I eat hot wings, like I'm gonna do later today when I watch some football.
Wow! Well, get in the football while it lasts. Apparently,
that's right. It's wow. Like the last Sunday to watch. Now, of course, if for some reason the asteroid the size of an aircraft carrier passes between the Earth and the Moon, in case you didn't listen to the first 5 minutes of the show. If that happens, and for some reason the Earth isn't plunged into chaos, instead of being upset, I will just be happy, and I'll have a new lease on life, and I can just enjoy the fact that I will still get to be able to play Batman Arkham City and, you know, do other stuff.
Hang on a second, hang on. I'm checking my widget for the moon. I think it might be a full moon on Tuesday.
It's going to start out full, and then it's going to get smashed in half.
Oh, my God. Oh, a full moon in 4 days, my widget says. Four days. But it'll be pretty damn close to full, so we'll be able to hopefully see it or at least get footage.
I'm telling you, dude. It's going to be pretty amazing. So
yeah,
it's like
you'd think it was amazing, Eric. You'd think it was the world-changing, craziest day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday.
Yes. I love when we can quote Street Fighter the movie.
Street Fighter the movie is the greatest action comedy of all time. It's so funny.
The best is when they have all those explosives packed, and they're on that cart, and they're coming right towards the tent where all the bad guys are.
That's
and the
right.
Bad guys are watching it on television because Chun-Li's got her news camera reported on there. And they're like, oh, my God. And they're all panicking. And the whole explosions are coming right at the tent. And they're all watching it happen on TV. And then Zangief, the big, dumb Russian, goes, quick, change the channel.
I just think, like, Street Fighter the movie, not the Chun-Li movie that came out that was a horrible piece of crap.
Yes.
But the original Van Damme, the Belgian, playing an American war hero, was just such an underrated comedy. I just feel like nobody understood the genius, you know, behind the writer-director. And this was a guy, the guy who wrote and directed it, had like 13 amazing green-lit action movies. And that was his 13th one, like the 13th script that he had written that got green-lit into a great action movie.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but at one point, don't they have like the news camera on Van Damme? And they're like, yo, Colonel Guile, do you have a message? Do you have a message to General Bison? And he goes, and now doesn't he like karate kick and stop his foot like right up against the camera?
Oh no, even better. And actually on the DVD, and I would highly recommend getting this DVD if you haven't, because there's so many bonus features. It's like the most bonus features you've ever seen in your life on a DVD. They have the raw uncut footage from the prop camera. From that scene, which is just great. You see all these gags that they totally cut out of the movie. But anyways, now Van Damme goes up to the camera and he's like, What does he say? He's like, yes, I have something to say to that bastard Bison. And he gives him this up yours thing. Like he like, it's hard to describe, but he like throws his fist up and claps his hands down on his bicep at the same time.
Kind of an uppercut flex.
That's right.
Yes, that's what I do when I'm walking through a dark alley and like thugs are coming at me the other way. I'm like, oh, I'll scare you away.
That movie's so good. I mean, when Raul Julia playing Bison, it was amazing. It was his last movie, and he really hammed it up. He was so over the top.
We can all agree that he went out on top.
Yes, absolutely. And people at the time were like, oh, it's a travesty. He was in this stupid movie. Oh, he made that movie amazing.
That's what they say about Orson Welles, too, because his last movie was voicing Unicron in Transformers, right. The cartoon movie, and they're like, oh, what a waste. Like, no, man, he went out on top.
Exactly, and it wasn't a frozen peas commercial, so give the guy a break.
Yeah.
You know, Salvador Dali did chocolate commercials.
Now, I will say that Van Damme's character, Colonel Guile, in Street Fighter, totally fucks over his best friend. Because his best friend is Charlie, who in the movie is captured by Bison and gets turned into Blanca, the green demon monster. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Bison has no idea that he has Guile's best friend until Guile looks into the camera and goes, Charlie, hey, buddy, stay strong. We're coming for you, Charlie.
Charlie, number 971. He has like brown hair. He's 5'2". I really care about him a lot. Don't kill him.
And so then Bison grabs the nearest soldier, who happens to be Charlie, and looks at his dog tags and is like, "Oh, you're Jean-Claude Van Damme's gay lover. Let's turn this guy into like the Incredible Hulk, please.
Yeah.
Let's turn him into green with orange hair and fuck his mind up." So it's like at the end. And at the end, Blanca decides to just kill himself, and he should have just beat the shit out of Van Damme. Be like, "Yo, buddy, if you hadn't given me a shout out on terrorist television, I wouldn't have been turned into a monster freak. So thanks."
But you know what? In defense of his transformation, all they really did was make him watch a bunch of like horrible trash TVs.
Yes, put him on a loop of the Jersey Shore. Fast forward. No.
I mean, because when the character comes out of the machine that he's been in for the whole movie and he's been turned into a quote unquote monster, he's like not ripped at all. He looks like the most not. I mean, I'm more muscular than this guy and I'm skinny, and he comes out and he's got this fucking crazy like Pauly Shore hair that's been dyed slightly orange and his chest hair, and he's just like this non-ripped, I don't know what he looks like, and he has this Klingon forehead, and they're like, ha-ha, look at what we've done.
That was, you see, that television will do that. Too much television. You know, if you see some kid walking down the street, and he's green with orange hair, and he likes to bite people, he just watched too much television, turn into a Blanca.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many unanswered questions. Even though I watched, the commentary is amazing, and all the behind-the-scenes featurettes are great. I have so many unanswered questions about things that were seemingly cut out of the movie for no reason.
It did make me sad, though, that like my favorite guy to fight with in the video game was Dalsim.
Yeah.
You know, the Indian guy that could stretch his arms and legs. And in this one, he's just a doctor that actually turns Blanca into the beast. And so he's not really a fighter, and his arms and legs don't stretch, and he doesn't do yoga fire and shoot a fireball at you.
Yeah,
so.
But get this. But in the last scene... So we see Blanca bust out of the machine, and he fights Colonel Guile, and then they leave, and then they come back, and all of a sudden Dr. Dalsim is there, and his hair is gone, and the sleeves on his lab coat are ripped off, and there's no explanation. And I've always thought, like, shit, I bet there was a scene where he, like, because he gets splashed with chemicals before this. I bet there's a scene that they had planned on shooting, or that they just cut, where he, like, gets amazing arm stretchy powers and, like, you know, actually kicks some ass for a second. But it's not in the movie.
You're probably right. I bet you the arms just look so terrible.
Yeah.
Like, they just did these big, long, floppy arms, and it was just propped on wires and stuff, and they're just like, nah, we can't do it.
I bet
you're probably right.
I mean, that's what I always thought. That is my super nerd conspiracy theory. But, yeah, I bet it was, like, they tried to do it with camera tricks. Like the original supposed to be never seen by anyone Fantastic Four movie.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the reasons why the purists hate this movie is because we all know that the top character in Street Fighter is Ryu, and in the movie he's just like this throwaway character. He doesn't really do shit.
No, he's pretty awful.
So that's why a lot of people hate on it. But you just got to look past that, man, because everyone else is just so cool. Like, and like in the beginning, Sagat, you know, like the Thai boxer, you know, Muay Thai boxer, like who's totally awesome. He was the former Street Fighter champion. He starts off looking really tough, and by the end, he's just like a bitch.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's almost like Street Fighter is hilarious in that the casting choices, they basically got every ethnicity totally wrong, wrong. Like they had an American play a Chinese girl, they had a Hawaiian play a sumo wrestler. I mean, I don't know who played the Russian guy, but I'm assuming he wasn't Russian. A Belgian playing an American playing a Japanese guy. I think like Ken Masters was the only guy who's like, "Hey, I'm an American." Oh yeah, yeah. Wes Studi, who's a Native American, playing a Muay Thai boxer.
Yeah, so it was kind of bad, but it's pretty awesome.
And it has so many good. I'm sorry, I'll stop geeking out, but it has so many good lines. Like one scene, we just randomly cut to Bison, and he has all these dudes around him, and this giant constructive city that he's going to build, and he's like, "I think we need to make the cafeteria bigger." anyway. So, let me tell you, I just finished up Metroid Fusion for the Game Boy Advance. And let me tell you about it. If you hadn't known there was a Metroid 4, there was, way back in the days of the Game Boy Advance. And, you know, when I first played it, it kind of had a new spin on the whole Metroid series, and I kind of wrote it off. But recently, because of, you know, I have this DS Lite, and I've been playing all these old school Game Boy Advance games that came out, what, like 10 plus years ago? I picked it up, and I was actually really surprised. You know, have you ever played a Metroid game, Eric?
Hell no.
Well, let me tell you. It's about you're a lone warrior in the future with a gun arm, and you basically go around some kind of mysterious area shooting the hell out of aliens and collecting power-ups. And
that's the whole game. AKA what I might be doing this Thursday.
That's right. So you may want to bone up your skills about like collecting power-ups. And she never has a sword, but she always has this like gun arm that she upgrades throughout the game. You get different powers, but I was surprised as to like how much of a thorough Metroid game this was. The whole change is that instead of collecting health from enemies that just kind of float there, once you kill an enemy, once you shoot a monster, it turns into this little parasite that kind of flies around and flies away from you, and sometimes the parasites go into other creatures and make them stronger. So you have to like kill something and then jump at the parasite to absorb it into your body.
I don't want to absorb parasites, man.
It's the only way she can live.
I don't want to get alien AIDS.
Well, she already has alien AIDS, and the cure is by killing things.
Well, I mean, the cure for everything is killing things.
Well, it's true.
It's like, I have alien AIDS. Well, you know what? I'm just going to kill other people to make myself feel better.
Exactly. Be like, well, I'm going to be the last person standing.
Yes, even though my time is short.
That's right. Yours is shorter.
So, now... like we said, the world is going to end. It's like, who do you want to live and who do you want to, like, perish first? Like, obviously, someone like Ryan Seacrest, you're probably going to want to stomp his ass out immediately. But it's like, are there any cool people out there? I mean, obviously, if you're super hot, then you're cool enough to survive. But it's like, who else do we want to survive? It's like, do you want Ben Stiller to survive? Or
That's kind of tough. I mean, I think...
Who's on the short list?
I want Zach Galifianakis's beard to survive.
Zach Galifianakis.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I don't want his last name to survive. It's too hard to pronounce.
Yes, we'll just call him Zach G.
Yeah, Zach the beard. Just his beard, so I can have a beard.
Who else should survive? Obviously, Shia LaBeouf. If you survive the asteroid, you're not going to survive me.
Dude, he couldn't survive a bar fight. He's not going to survive the asteroid. Did you see that?
Oh, my God. He got his ass whooped in that bar fight.
Oh, man. It's like...
If only there was audio in the beginning of that fight, because he'd be like... Because that guy that was hammering him was like, Transformers sucked. iRobot sucked. Dumb and Dumber sucked. Holes was okay.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. You know, I liked Holes.
Wall Street 2 sucked. And don't even fucking start at Indiana Jones 4, you... franchise killer.
Well, I think even if we all collectively want him to die, so that the Star Wars franchise can continue under better leadership. Somehow George Lucas is going to live. So you needed to take your lightsaber and go kill George Lucas.
I really think that George Lucas thinks it's possible to become General Grievous. I really think George Lucas is having a robot body being built for him, and they're like, yo, just put like my brain under a helmet, and then put like a sack, like a grocery bag sack of like my of my top organs, and just put them in the middle, and just and kind of protect it, but leave at least enough room in between that someone can get their fingers in between and pull it apart and then shoot it.
That's right.
You think the guy, he has organs in a sack. You think it would have been a little more better protected. He's a fucking robot. They could have built like a barrel around those organs to protect him from Obi-Wan killing him. But now they rushed the design on that one.
Well, see, I think this is part of like this is part of the video game generation, isn't that you can see how video games, specifically boss battles, have influenced Hollywood movies. Because, you know, pre-video games, like let's say I just rewatched John Carpenter's The Thing. Fucking right. Awesome movie. There's this unkillable alien virus thing that's going around, and you don't know who is who because it mimics other life forms. It eats you and then turns into you, so anybody could be the thing. And there's a lot of explosions, and there's a lot of like there's flamethrowers and guns and TNT and all kinds of stuff. But the boss fight in the game, or sorry, in the movie, the boss does not have a weak point. You know, there is no like, you know, get to the back to shoot the Las Plaga coming out of his spinal cord because that'll take him down. There's no like video game influence in that boss fight, but there so is in so many other movies.
That's true. Yeah, these days you're always looking for a weak spot. There's always the kill switch somewhere.
Exactly. I love, you know, one of the funner things in Metroid Fusion was like there were some bosses without a weak point, and you just had to kind of figure out a strategy to take them down without any like known like, oh, you cast fire against the ice demon kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chad, I just want to say, you know, I've enjoyed having you as my brother over all these years.
Wow.
I love you, guy. And you're in New York City right now. I'm in Virginia, so, you know, hopefully you can fight your way all the way down here, because like I said, I'm rebuilding this place in my name. I mean, I live in the city of Williamsburg, so it's already named after me, so obviously this is manifest destiny. So if you want to get down here, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, Eric. I think I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait a couple couple years until you've settled things down there. You know, okay. I'll wait until everything's good. You know, I kind of put an open invitation out there last year on my Facebook wall. To say like, hey, all right, it's a zombie apocalypse, and these are my plans. And I thought I was doing good. I thought I had a plan, but then my friend Mahoney, who is an ex-Marine, and
he's an ex-cop, right, from Police Academy.
Shut up. No, he's an ex-Marine. He lives in rural Pennsylvania, and he's like, fuck your plan. Just get out here. I have guns. There's plenty of hunting ground. We're gonna survive this shit. And I gotta tell you, it's a very tempting offer to live in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, where there's plenty of wild animals to shoot and kill and farmland with an ex-Marine. Dude, you always want to find the guy with guns to be on your side in a zombie apocalypse.
See, I disagree. I feel like in a lot of those movies, the ex-Marines are the ones that go crazy fastest, and they use their training to kill people. Like, all the ex-Marines are like, oh, we don't have a leader anymore, so let's just have anarchy. Let's build a compound and rape people and just, you know, shoot people. Might makes right. You got to be careful, man. That's why I'm going to be a loner. I'm going to have one hairy sidekick and all the rest is hot sorcery babes. So I don't have any of this kind of conflict in my camp. I don't have these military guys trying to rise up against me. Be like, nope, it's not happening. Unless you got some hot boobies, just get out of here.
That's right.
So I'm not going to have that issue. And the movie Heat with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
Sure.
I mean, remember De Niro had that big rule. He's like, wherever you go, you got to be able to leave in 15 minutes.
Uh huh.
And only take, you know, what you need to survive and stuff. That's going to be my lay of the land. I'm going to have my laser sword and a hot sorcery babe and be like, psh, you got 15 minutes to pack, babe, and I'm out of here if it's time to move on. So
wow. Well, I think you need the hairy Chewbacca sidekick to watch your back when you sleep, basically.
Exactly. You definitely need the hairy you know, and the cartoon is called Ookla. And
wait,
you definitely
Ookla?
Need Ookla, yes.
I'm pretty sure that's Russian for puppet.
No.
That's Kukla.
You know, No. You know why they called it UCLA?
Why is that?
Because the two guys that wrote it went to UCLA, which people call UCLA, and they're like, oh, we should have a character named UCLA, and that's what they named it. His real name is UCLA.
Ah, that's great.
Ride, UCLA, ride!
Sorry, that was me killing a fly. Not out of anger, but out of spite.
This is me killing your guinea pig, motherfucker.
Shut up. Keep talking that, and I won't have your back.
Well, you're up in New York City. You're not going to be able, you're no use to me.
No, I know. And I was just thinking that. I was like, wow, I'm in New York City. There's no possible way to escape New York City if bad shit goes down. Because every single bridge out of the city is going to be blocked off by police. You know, or like 1,000 angry assholes trying to leave. So
you guys are going to die like rats. Sorry. But
yeah,
anyways, to all our fans out there, by the way, if you join my gang, duh, guess what we're going to be called? The Jumpmen. So all you Jumpmen,
it's like
Batman Incorporated. It's gonna be like Jumpmen Incorporated.
Dude, you need to be called. You need to call yourselves Los Locos, and then so you can have the song from Short Circuit 2.
Oh, Los Locos kick your butt. Los Locos kick your face.
Los Locos kick your balls into outer space.
Yeah,
that's right.
No. We're gonna be the Jumpmen. So, but anyways, yeah. So, if you're a fan, check us out on RetroWare TV one last time, and check us out on our Facebook page, JumpmanPodcast.com, one last time.
That's right.
And when the world ends, you know, head to Virginia, look for me. I'll be on the white horse with a laser sword.
That's right. Mention that you liked us on our Facebook wall, and you will automatically get into the gang. We won't put you through the ritual.
That's right. The Midnight Carrot Walk. Yes.
Well,
so, well, you know,
yeah, if, so, yeah, I just want to say to all our fans, you know, in case the Rapture 3 doesn't happen this Tuesday, we will continue to have a weekly podcast. And if you want your ad on the podcast, please just drop us a little hint on our Facebook wall, and I will get back to you immediately.
And it really is a win-win situation. Either the world ends and I get to ride off in a blaze of glory, or the world doesn't end and you can still listen to the Jumpman podcast and eat McRibs.
You're eating a McRib? Do you know what's in a McRib?
No, I'm not eating it. It would kill me. I'm saying other people can still eat it. It's a win-win for other people.
Nobody eats McRibs. I think you absorb McRibs.
Yes.
Did you ever see, all right, this will gross you out. You ever see Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution?
No, but you've told me all about it.
Yeah, yes. Oh my God. I'll never eat another chicken nugget or processed chicken anything as long as I live. Because he basically said, okay, kids. And he went to the school and he's like, all right, this is how you you make a chicken McNugget. And he cut off all the good pieces of meat from a piece of chicken. And he's left with just like all the tendons and bone and like organs and crap. And he's like, okay. And then he put all that garbage into a blender and blended it. And then made the blended nastiness into a patty. And breaded it and fried it. And he's like, who wants chicken nuggets?
And guess what? All those kids in West Virginia were like, me, 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 me.
I know. And he was like,
I want it.
He was stunned. He was like, this always works. How the fuck can the children of all these horrible fat people love this?
Dude, just throw some sweet and sour sauce on that bad boy. I'll eat it too.
Oh my God. And I saw an ad for the chicken riblet the other day. And I was like, how do people eat that garbage? Mm. Not to spite people that eat unhealthily, but for my own health, I went to Fairway, which is this pretty famous organic market in Manhattan, and I bought two chicken breasts that were totally organic. You know, was it farm? Like,
don't care. Keep going.
Anyway, it's like they were happy chickens. They ate great things. I paid like $17 for two chicken breasts, and that is money well spent.
That's ridiculous. $17.
I'm investing in my own health.
I like my chickens to be tortured and die with frowns on their faces. The meat tastes better that way.
Well, you know how we got mad cow disease, right?
Don't care.
It's when we fed the cows their own brains.
Win some, you lose some. That's how you learn.
People were like, hey, mad cow disease. Wow, we've only seen that in humans in these crazy like Amazonian cultures where people eat their own brains because they think they're absorbing their power. And that's where mad cow disease happens. And they're like, we've been grinding up sheep and cow parts and feeding them back to them? What the fuck were we thinking?
The world. That's bullshit. You know how mad cow disease was formed?
How's that?
Because they fed the cows after midnight. You don't feed the cows after midnight. Duh, and you don't get them wet.
That's true. I mean, that's the toughest thing ever, man.
Yeah, and keep them away from bright light.
It's like, how does a creature survive without water?
Yes.
Water is like the most fundamental building block of life on this planet. We're all water-based organisms, except for those arsenic-based bacteria, but that's not counting.
Yes.
Anyways, hey, one last plug. If you guys want to see Gremlins 2 on the big screen, BAM in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Academy of Music is showing Gremlins 2 this November, and we have a big-ass link to it up on our Facebook page, or you can just go to BAM.org and look for Puppets on Film. Huge puppet festival, and I'm so all over this, man. It's going to be awesome.
Yes.
You don't even know. Yes, you don't even know. Legend of the Sacred Stone is having its U.S. premiere, and it's one of the most insane movies of all time.
I'm making preparations to survive the apocalypse, and you're getting ready to watch a puppet show. I mean,
what?
One
priorities.
One of us is not going to survive a week.
No, it's all right. Dude. I mean, all I need is enough fire-making materials to last me until I get to a forest, and then I'm good.
Yep. All right. Well, it's been nice knowing you.
All right. Well, I'll see you in hell.
All right. Later.
Bye.